I must tell you, this is a tremendous chus, and I'm very excited to be here. It gives me tremendous nachas to look around this room and to look around this shul and to see the work that your Rav Yeshua is doing here. It's amazing to see, as he said, growing up together and the journey the life takes us, to see the kahila that he's being maimed here. It gives me tremendous nachas and pride. I must tell you, although we played, you know, we definitely played had our share of playing sports together. You probably do know that he's one of the best basketball players. Yeah, there's no secret to it. Okay. I can tell you that you cannot cross over Josh Hess. You cannot cross him over. If you think you can make a move around him, he's going to knock it out and go down. So don't try to cross him over.
Keep him on our team.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm sure the Torah which he's teaching you is much, much more valuable than all these things. So you're very lucky, extremely lucky and gifted to be able to have such a wonderful person and a Talmud Chacham leading your kehillah. You should be zechut to see many more years of nachas and growth in your community. Amen. I want to speak tonight a little bit about the midah of bitachon, trust in Hashem. To us, perhaps, when we think about the idea of trusting in Hashem, it may seem a little bit blind. The person to say to himself, when he's in a difficult situation, any life circumstance, if something's going a little bit rough or tough, to say, you know what, I'm putting this one on you. Where does that come from? What are we being soimich on? What are we relying on exactly? Is that just an empty move and a crunch? How do we understand what that means to have bitachon in Hashem, to depend on Hashem Yisbarach, not to believe in Hashem? That's called emunah. Speaking about bitachon in Hashem, which is depending on Hashem Yisbarach. I'm going to share with you a story. The story needs somewhat of an explanation. There's a deep message in this story. But looking around the room, I think it's appropriate, and I think you'll understand. In the Yotafshin Lamed Gimel, which is going back about 46 years ago, it was a Motzi Shabbos Kodesh. It was a Saturday night. And there was a Malava Malka taking place, similar to this. In honor of a very chashev guest, the Tzvi Hirsch Meizlish, a certain Rav, who had come to town. And he wanted to explain, there's a medrash which says the following thing. The Zeresh told Haman, Uba boiker emor lamelech, I want you to go in the morning and to tell the king that you want to hang Haman. So the medrash says that he wanted to time this shechting of Haman, of Mordechai, the tzaddik, at the time that Mordechai recites Kriya Shema in the morning. So of course it needs an explanation. Why specifically at that time that Mordechai is saying Kriya Shema? Does he want to take out Mordechai? So it explains with the following story. There was a very great tzaddik about 100 years ago. His name was Rav Moshe from Rozvadov. And once he was a youngster at the time, and he married into a family of which the grandfather of his wife was a great tzaddik, whose name was Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, also known by his sefer, the Yismach Moshe. So the Yismach Moshe once went into a private room, and of course, a curious grandson, he wanted to peek inside and to see what the tzaddik is doing there. So he peeked into the room and he saw that his grandfather was in deep meditation and he was becoming very fiery over what he was about to do. And he started to say Shema. He said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And when he came to the word Echad, when he came to that word Echad, which means that Hashem, you are one. And of course we know that one doesn't just mean one but not two. It means one of the Hashem's oneness means that he's everything, that he's endless. The word that we use is Ein Sof. He has no beginning and he has no end. He's beyond comprehension. The Ramchal says that even the word Echad doesn't properly describe who Hashem is Baruch is. It's just the best word which we have to explain what it means to be beyond. And every single person has a different explanation, not explanation, but a different understanding within himself as to what that means, Hashem Echad. Really, the measure of a tzaddik means and is determined by what his understanding is of Hashem. And when the tzaddik Yitzchak Moshe said Hashem Echad, this is a very deep understanding. He said Hashem Echad, and all of his koiches, all of his energies, everything which was what he was feeling at that time, he just plotzed on the floor. Just fell on the floor. Which means that he gave himself over completely to Hashem, that he was able to feel that every fiber of his being belonged to Hashem. Don't try this at home. You have to be a real tzaddik to do this. And then he just gave all of his koiches to Hashem, and he was just lying there on the floor. Based on this story, based on this understanding of the complete mesiras nefesh, a dedication that a tzaddik has for Hashem. So this Rav of Meizlish wanted to explain why it is that Haman wanted to time his killing of Mordechai at the time of Kriya Shema. The Tiferes Shloime, he has a vart, he has a teaching on the pasuk in the Megillah, which says, it's a known word, at Chassidim especially, it says, Ushma'o holich b'chol ha-medinos, that his name, that his reputation, was known throughout all of the Medinas, all of the countries. Everybody knew about Mordechai the Tzaddik. So he learns, when it says, Ushma'o holich, that word Ushma'o, his reputation, comes from the word Shema. Ushma'o holich, that the Kriya Shema of Mordechai was so great that it was known b'chol ha-medinos. Everybody knew that when Mordechai said Kriya Shema, how special that was when he said Kriya Shema. When he declared Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the way that Mordechai understood this, what it means that Hashem is one, very famous. So he explains that probably the Kriya Shema of Mordechai was somewhat similar to the Kriya Shema of the Yismach Moshe. So Haman said to himself, listen, I know the best time I'm going to take out Mordechai. You know the time that he's the most vulnerable? When he says Kriya Shema, and he's on the floor, I'm going to come ahead, I'm going to take him out. That's what he touches the chat in that medrash. What obviously did Haman not know? Obviously Haman was not successful in doing so. To explain why he was not successful, we have to go to another part of the Megillah. We know that Ahasuerus threw a party for 180 days, celebrating what? That there would be no more Beis HaMikdash anymore. He had a 180-day party, and then another 7-day party on top of that. So altogether, there was 187 days of celebrating no more Beis HaMikdash. Now the Medrash says, and we read the Megillah, and we're kind of lost as to when the 180 days took place. When did the 180 days take place? So there's a Medrash. The Medrash says that it began on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So if you count 180 days from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so you're going to have 6 months, right? 6 times 30. Which takes you to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. What's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? Rosh Hashanah. So the culmination of this party, this festival, ended on Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, he explains that this next 7 days of the party took place after Rosh Hashanah. Ahasuerus didn't want to mess with Hashem. He knew he was a great God, and he knew he was really the king of all kings. Everybody knew Hashem's reputation. Everybody knew about Hashem. So I'm not going to continue my celebration on the day that Hashem crowns himself of king of the world. So we'll give off from Rosh Hashanah. We'll give off of 2 days Rosh Hashanah because it was outside of Eretz Yisrael. And we'll pick up the party afterwards, and we'll count another 7 days. And when you count 7 days after Rosh Hashanah, where's the last day of the party? Yom Kippur. Oh! So he wanted to celebrate the extermination of the Jewish people on Yom Kippur. That was the last day of the party. That was going to be the big shebang. Yom Kippur was going to be the last day. We're going to celebrate forever and ever, no more Jewish people. No more Beis HaMikdash, no more Jewish people. We've got them to do all types of aveiros at this party. That was going to be the day that he was going to finish them off. Now, what happens on Yom Kippur? It gives you a totally different perspective. I'm sorry?
The gates of heaven are
open. Oh. What happens on this Yom Kippur day is that on this very last day, the climax of the celebration, Ahasuerus tells his wife Vashti to come out inappropriately, and everything turns around. Ahasuerus is drunk, he kills his wife, and the whole Nase of Purim is set into motion. But he thought that Yom Kippur would be the day that he would be able to take out the Jewish people. I think we have in our history, not so long ago, I'm sure some of you here, many of you here, experienced it, certainly knew about it, the Yom Kippur War, of course. Our enemies think that the Yom Kippur is the best day to take out the Jewish people. Everybody's in shul, everybody's davening, who's prepared, who is ready for that sneak attack? Yom Kippur would be the best day to take out the Jewish people. But the mistake which Haman made, and the mistake which our enemies made in recent times, is that you may think that Yom Kippur is the best day to take out the Jewish people because of what they may be doing on that day. But the truth is, the Gemara says otherwise. The Gemara says that there are 364 days in the Jewish calendar that the Satan has permission, that the accuser has permission to talk negative and terrible things about the Jewish people, to accuse us. Because, if, a little bit of gematria here, the Gemara makes the gematria, that if you take the word ha-Satan, which means the accuser, the heavenly angel who accuses the Jewish people, ha-Satan is the gematria, the numerical value of 364, because a hey is 5, and a sin is 300, a tes is 9, and then a nun is 50. Together it's 364 days of the year our enemy is able to prosecute against us. But there's one day in the Jewish calendar where he has no permission to say anything, and that's Yom Kippur. So what that means, that on the surface it may appear that Yom Kippur is your best day, but in truth, it's the best day for the Jewish people. Because the day which we're most vulnerable, we're really not vulnerable. Because on that day, on Yom Kippur, where we're in shul, and we're davening, and we're doing tshuva, and we're fasting, and you think we may be weak, and we have no way to respond and to fight for ourselves, at that time, what we're doing on Yom Kippur is we're turning to Hashem, and we're saying to Hashem, the gates are open, and we're saying, Hashem Yisroch, this is your day. You do everything. This is the day that you reveal your oneness in the world. When we're most vulnerable, and we give things over to you, that's when you take over, and you demonstrate who's really in the boss, who's really in control, who's really one. And on that day that Hashem reveals His oneness, we're untouchable. And that was the same thing which happened with Mordechai. That in the same way that Yom Kippur is called that one day of the year, Chazal call it Yom Echad, the oneness of Hashem is revealed on that day. And what we do in Shul is a reflection of the oneness which is manifested on that day. When Mordechai says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and he's in that zone of Hashem is one, he may be prostrated on the floor and he looks like he's the most vulnerable, but that's really the time where he's most protected. Because at that time, he's given everything over to Hashem, and Hashem is hovering over him. And Hashem is saying, I got your back when you're on the floor. I'm taking care of you now. And that's really what bitachon is. Bitachon means that you have somebody to depend upon because you know that Hashem, in His infinite oneness and in His kindness, and His mercy which He has for you, that you can depend upon Him because He's so merciful, and He's so caring, and He's so loving. And you depend upon His kindness. This is not just blind. You recognize that Hashem is Baruch, that His rachmanis, that His compassion is literally endless. Endless, endless, endless. And the more that we understand the extent of His compassion, it runs much, much deeper than human compassion can run. And a tzaddik who understands the depth of that rachman doesn't just depend on hopefully something. That rachmim of Hashem, the depth of the compassion that he has, is certain. He can depend on it 100%. More than he can depend on the fact that he can take his next step forward, he can depend upon Hashem's rahmah. So therefore, that's not bitachon is not just a midah that a person can just say. If he's in the maybe zone, right? then that's not 100% B'tachon. That's not what we're talking about. But the tzaddik, that a person is not just a tzaddik, it's something which is in the reservoirs of who we are. That it just needs to come out. That we recognize that Hashem is one, and we all believe that Hashem is one. Part of that oneness is the recognition that Hashem's infinite, infinite kindness is something which we can depend upon. You see this from the Gemara. The Gemara says, when it's explaining Mordechai, because the Gemara is going on that which the Pasuk says about Mordechai's lineage. It says, Mordechai was who? Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish. The son of Yair, the son of Shimi, the son of Kish. And Chazal say, what does it mean he's the son of Kish? And we darshan all these things, because we don't need to know his lineage just because. We want to know, it's telling us something about Mordechai and how he was able to bring about this nace, this miracle. What does it mean, Ben Kish? So Chazal say Kish is a lashon of knocking. He was Hikish al dalsei rachamim, that he knocked on the doors of rachamim. And you know, Mordechai didn't stop knocking. Every time Haman came back with something, Mordechai knocked, and he knocked again, and he knocked harder and harder and harder, because he didn't give up, and he didn't, never said, maybe Hashem's rachamim ends over here. Even after 70 years of being in Golis, and there was no Beis HaMikdash, and Achashverosh was sitting at the party, and he was wearing the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, Chazal say, as if to show that this would never be rebuilt again. Mordechai would just say, I know that Hashem's rachamim is deeper than what I understand. And he depended and he banked on that rachamim. And he never stopped knocking on the door, because he knew more than human compassion can run, so runs Hashem's rachmanis. One of the things which we say at the end of reading the Megillah, we say Shoshanas Yaakov Tzahala V'Samecha, and we start to say Aru Haman, and we say Aru Rezeresh, they should be cursed, Haman should be cursed, and his wife Zeresh should be cursed, and we say Brucha Esther, Esther you're Brucha, you're blessed, and we say Mordechai you're blessed, Baruch Mordechai. What does it mean, Baruch Mordechai? Mordechai, you're blessed. Because we say a pasuk in Uvel Letzion every day in the evening. We say, Baruch HaGever Asher Yivtach B'Hashem. Blessed is the one that he has bitachon in Hashem. That a person's bracha that he sees in his life is according to the bitachon that he has in Hashem. Baruch Mordechai. The bracha, the channel which brings down that blessing into our life, is according to the bitachon that we're able to bring out in Hashem Yisbarach. To recognize that He loves us, that He cares for us, that we're so important to Him in a world of 8 billion people. The few thousands, tens, millions, whatever it is, how many Yidden that there are. Of course, Hashem loves all of His creations, but there's a special love that Hashem has for the Jewish people. He says, you're my children. And we know that a father and a mother, the love that they have for their children, no matter how many times they make mistakes, the love is still there, and the encouragement is still there. If that's true about us, and it gave us those feelings to be able to recognize and to be able to tap into them, to say, if that's true about me, of human flesh and blood, how much more so about the God, the creator of the universe, endless, endless compassion for us. And that's the channel which brings bracha into our lives. The more bitachon we're able to bring out. And I'll tell you a little bit of a secret. There's a very deep secret connected to this. It comes to the teachings of the Arizal, the works of Kabbalah. He says a very Kabbalistic explanation, which we don't need to go into. The Arizal says that when a Jew drinks on Purim, the Gemara says that he should drink ad lo yada, until he gets to a state where he doesn't know the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Har Haman, the fact that Mordechai is blessed and that Haman is cursed. Different explanations to what that means, but the Arizal has a very deep teaching, and again, he bases it on a very deep concept in Kabbalah, where he says that a Jew should become so shikr and so drunk, and don't laugh, that he says Baruch Haman. He should say Baruch is Haman. Very perplexing that you should say Baruch Haman. It's a pretty big mistake. It's pretty drunk that you should say Baruch Haman. For our purposes, perhaps you could say the following explanation, because the words of the Arizal and all words of Torah, Shivim Panam LaTorah, you can explain it in 70 different ways. Endless ways you can explain words of Torah. You just need to have a Rav and a Rebbe to be able to guide you, to be able to know what's real pshat and what's not a real pshat explanation. There's a teaching that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the holy Baal Shem Tov, that he taught in the name of the Ramban. But the Ramban said, I tell you that not only if a tzaddik has real bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem will be there for him no matter what, vaday, certainly, if the tzaddik has bitachon in Hashem, but I tell you this, that even if a rasha, even if a wicked person has full bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem is Baruch will answer him. And the explanation is what we said before, because when it comes to bitachon, it's not a matter of how many merits you have versus how many averis which you have. Bitachon means that you're relying upon Hashem's compassion. And Hashem's compassion for each and every Jew, each and every person, that if he relies on Hashem's compassion, he is certain to be answered. Because how many merits a person has is no factor in this. Because Hashem's compassion is completely endless. So says the Ramban, even if he's wicked, he's a very wicked person, if he relies on Hashem's compassion, he'll be answered. Perhaps this is what the Arizal means that he's hinting to when he says that you should drink to a state that you're so shikr, that you're so drunk, that you say Baruch Haman. Because of course Haman represents the wicked one. But when it comes to the Midah of Bitachon, which is Baruch HaGever Asher Yivtach B'Hashem, blessed is he who has Bitachon in Hashem. The teaching is that even a Haman, if he has bitachon in Hashem's love and his compassion, you say about that, Baruch Haman. Hashem will be there for him. And that's not something which we can really understand because we don't understand the depth of Hashem's rachmanis. So that's why the teaching is that you're in such a state of shichris, like Rav Moshe Tzvi was speaking about, that we can't see things as they're moving forward. We only see things retroactively. So as we're moving forward, we can't really fathom what it means, this concept. So we have to go into a state where we're like out of our das, out of our mind, we're in the state of shikris, of drunkenness, out of our normal consciousness. In that place, we can understand it, but we're not ready to understand that. That's beyond our capability to understand as we are as human beings. We don't understand the depth of Hashem's bitachon and Hashem's rachmanis that He has for us. But we come to a place on Purim where we can at least say that we don't understand it. Baruch Haman, Hashem is Baruch, you're there for everybody who trusts in you. And we have to know that we have what to trust in. That this compassion is mamish endless, it's really endless. And to be His chosen people, we're so privileged to be able to have this relationship with Him and to really be the only nation on earth which understands what it means Hashem is one. That Hashem is one, that He's the totality, that He's everything, and this chus that we have to be His chosen people. So Hashem is Baruch should help us that as we move into this new tkufa on the Jewish calendar, and the month of Adar, as we approach the Yontov of Purim, Hashem should awaken that reservoir which we have within ourselves to recognize the schus which we have, to be part of a wonderful kehila, to have Pashav Rabbeim who are teaching us every single day what it means that Hashem is one, bringing us closer to His Torah and to do His will. We should be able to mekayim, fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Yontov appropriately, and Hashem Yisbarach should help us that He should awaken the Jewish neshama, which we all have. And with that, to find bitachon in our own individual lives, and in our communal lives, and as a tzibur, we should be zeicha, to awaken Hashem's compassion, reaching every one of us, and for the whole world, and to greet Mashiach, to Tehneu, to be a skoyal tzedek, and have a meal on that. Good day.